Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16, from the English Standard Version. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May God bless the reading from His holy word. Please take your seats. Now, we have started a new series entitled Rooted in Christ. Remember, our theme for year 2024 here in Bradford Church, it's rooted. Now, we want to be rooted because what happens if a person is not rooted in Christ? We can easily be, you know, drawn to every sort of false teaching that is prevalent in our world today. We don't want to be tossed here and there by all sorts of worldly wisdom. We don't want to be easily uprooted by trials and testings in life. And that is why it's important that we be rooted. You know what happens to a tree that is deeply rooted? Even though storms will come, crisis will come, that tree will stand. Amen? It will remain. Same is true to a Christian, to a person who is rooted in Christ. So in this lesson, particularly, we are talking about being rooted in who Jesus Christ is. So many Christians today don't really know who Jesus Christ is. You simply know that, well, He died on the cross, rose from the grave, that's all. But there is more about Jesus. In fact, the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is pointing to one person, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, in this series, we are going to talk, first of all, about the three offices of Christ. Now, we started this two Sundays ago. The three offices of Christ. What is that? Is Jesus holding office? When you say someone is holding office, it means that that person has a specific role of authority. So an office has something to do with the role of his authority. And Jesus Christ in the Bible is said to be possessing three roles as the Messiah. Jesus is a prophet, a priest, and king. Now, that is something to do with the Old Testament. If you remember, in the Old Testament, listen, when God set up His church, I mean His nation, the nation of Israel, He gave them three leaders. Now, who are these three leaders so important for God's people to, you know, to be governed? They need a prophet, so God gave them prophets. Prophets are God's spokesperson to the nation, to the people. So people listen to God's word through the prophet. And then not only prophets, but God gave them priests. The priest represents the people to God. So the prophet, they are God's spokesperson to the people. And then the priests, they are the people's representative to God. So the mediator between God and man are the priests. And then the third, God gave them kings. So that this king can rule and can use the laws and the commands that God has given them. So in order for God's nation to stand, God's people to stand, God gave them prophet, priest, and king in the Old Testament. Now, these prophets, priests, and king in the Old Testament, they were not perfect. They were fallible. Some of them were wicked, right? So many wicked kings. There were even false prophets. There were also bad priests. So all this prophet, priest, and king in the Old Testament, they were simply shadows. They were simply looking forward to the ultimate Messiah who will be holding these three offices in one person. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, now, listen, we are now in the New Testament. All right? So we don't belong to the Old Testament. We belong to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, our prophet, our priest, and our king comes in just one person. You know, nowadays, uso na kayo ng mga three-in-one, right? Daghan na kayong three-in-one. But ang nagpasiugda yun ang three-in-one, si God. Before there's a three-in-one coffee, there was God who is already three-in-one. And even Jesus Christ, He rules three-in-one. Jesus is one person. He's the Messiah. But Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. Now, let's just skip that part. Now, two Sundays ago during our Palm Sunday celebration, we talked about the first office of Jesus, king. If you notice, I reversed the order. The right order should be prophet, priest, and king. But since we celebrated Palm Sunday two Sundays ago, so we started with the king. That Jesus Christ, when He entered Jerusalem, and when people were welcoming Him, raising their palm branches, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus was revealing Himself to the people that, yes, I'm the king. I'm the king that Zechariah is talking about. I'm the king that Isaiah is prophesying about. So He entered Jerusalem as a king. But you know what happened? That Hosanna turned to crucify Him, crucify Him. They rejected Him as their king because He wasn't the political, the revolutionary king that they want Him to be. So they crucified Him. But our Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen? He's coming again. He's no longer riding a donkey. He's coming again no longer to save people. No, He's coming again to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to wage war with the forces of evil in the world. And the Bible says, "And all the kingdoms of the earth shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ." Revelations 11:15. So one day, all knees will bow down from heaven, earth, and below. They will all bow down to Jesus as their King. Now, question, are we part of God's kingdom? Are we part of God's kingdom? Yes or no? Yes. Everyone who believes and receives Jesus Christ as his or her personal Lord and Savior, you are part of God's kingdom. Remember what Jesus said in John 3:3 to Nicodemus? You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are what? Born again. You have to be born again, Jesus says. So being born again, listen, some people, a lot of people think that born again is a church. Like, Pastor, is Bradford Church born again? Lisod po kong tubag, ha? Born again? Inko, I know I'm born again. Born again is not the church. Born again is not the group. Born again is what you need to become in order for you to be saved. Because if you're not born again, you're not part of God's kingdom. And if you're not part of God's kingdom, you're going to hell. See? So you have no choice. It's either you're born again or you're not. Because Jesus is very clear, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And to born again is not to join a new religion, it's not to change church, no. To be born again is when the Spirit gives you a new spirit, a new heart. All right? It gives you a new conviction. It gives you a conviction before you sin and you feel nothing at all. You just enjoy it. But once you're born again, sin is no longer natural for you. Yes, you can still sin, but there's something inside that's no longer there. You don't enjoy it as much as you want before. Why? Because you're born again. Before, going to church makes you sleepy. But when you're born again right now, it makes you sleepy a little na lang. Sleepy gyapon. See? Before, you know, like somebody told me here, like before, thought of going to church for 1.5 hours sitting there. I mean, what's that? Because if you're not born again, I mean, everything here, what I'm talking here means nothing. But a person who is born again, everything about worship is important. Amen? So, Jesus Christ is coming again. All right, today we're going to talk about Jesus Christ as priest. So we now talk about the second role of Christ, the office of Christ, and that's the office of a priest. Now, this is very important, brethren. Knowing this is very crucial in your life because if you truly believe in Jesus, if you're born again, if you're a follower of Christ, imagine this great privilege. You have full access to all the graces of God in heaven. You have full access to enter His throne. You can approach Him anytime without any fear or hesitation because you're a child of God. And that is because of the priestly ministry of Christ. Now, that's why it's very important. Now, I know some people don't know, huh? Priest then as Jesus? So that's very important. Jesus is our great high priest. And what are two basic functions of a priest, by the way? Two basic functions of a priest. They're responsible for offering sacrifices. Now remember, let's go back to the Old Testament. Listen, go back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the worship is not something like this. You worship God by bringing your offering. All people, we have all sinned. All right? And in the Old Testament, you cannot just say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry. Di na kumusab, Lord. It's not as simple as that. In the Old Testament, for God to forgive you, you have to bring sacrifices to God. For you to be forgiven by God, an animal has to die. Something has to die for you. Because in reality, for the wages of sin is death. So the process is this. It's either an animal would die for you or you would die for your sin. That's a choice. Of course, what's the easiest way? Can an animal die for my sin? So that's how God allowed people to approach Him. So people would bring their sacrifice, but people cannot just go to God and offer their sacrifice. No, only the priests can do that. So their worship, the worship in the Old Testament is not as nice, as clean as this. The worship in the Old Testament is, it's like you're in carbon. See? There are animals, there will be dead animals, it's going to be bloody, there's going to be fire. And the priests, they act like butcher. You know? Kung sa may binisaya og butcher. Mang-ihaw. So they make the ihaw. Nya dili lang butcher, they have to slice. Diba? If you go back to the Old Testament, you see there in Leviticus all the details on which part to offer which part. They would burn. So that's the work of the priests. So the worship before is not as nice as this. There's so much blood, there's so much fire, so on. And that's the work of the priests. Now, the priest does that so that your sins, our sins, will be forgiven by God temporarily. The other way that the priest does is not only offering sacrifices, but offering supplications. Supplications. In the Old Testament, you cannot just, Lord, I need help, Lord. No. In the Old Testament, your prayers goes to the priest and the priest brings them to God. See, in the Old Testament system, in the Old Covenant, no one can go directly to God. You have to pass through the priests. And what's sad is that during that time, there were priests that were bad. Remember Eli? His sons were so bad. Eli was a high priest, so therefore, if he's the high priest, his sons are also priests. But you know what the sons of Eli did? They were fornicating with the women who worship in the temple. See? They were harassing them. And they were taking advantage of the offering. Wala pa ganit na burn, ilan ng pagngon, ilan ng patiyon, kay ay, nindot ni ay. Grilled pork. Ay, dili pork. Wa may pork day. Sorry. Grilled lamb. Alright? So, they would do that. And so, they were bad priests before. And no wonder God was so mad. So two functions of the priest, they make the offering, and then they intercede for God's people. That's Old Testament. Praise God. We don't belong there anymore. Now we are New Testament. So listen, we belong to the New Testament, the New Covenant. That's the Old Covenant. All right? That's already done away with. Because when Jesus came, listen, everything in the Old Testament, the temple, the sacrifices, all those things in the altar, they were all symbols. What's wrong with my microphone? Hello. Can you hear me? Can I have another microphone? Can somebody give me a wireless microphone na lang? Okay, please. All right. Now, the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus. Okay? It's really talking about Jesus being the great high priest. That's the theme, that's the idea of the book of Hebrews. If you study Hebrews, it's telling you that everything in the Old Testament are all shadows. They're all copies, and the reality is Jesus Christ. In fact, here's the main idea. Jesus' priesthood is superior compared to the Old Covenant priesthood. So Jesus' priesthood is superior. It's perfect. Right? Now, what's the background of Hebrews? Why was Hebrews written? Now, let me tell you why this book was written. This was written because some Christians, remember Jews who are now becoming Christians, they were being persecuted by the Jews. They were telling these Christians, you know what? Your new religion is bad. You know? You have to go back to the old religion. You have to go back to Judaism. All right? And some of these Christians were confused. And so some of them went back to Old Testament. So they go back to sacrifices. They go back to the priests. And that's why this book was written, to tell us that no, everything about the Old Testament was completed when Jesus died on the cross and when he rose from the grave. You don't have to go through all the rituals, the religious things done in the Old Testament, because all those things are finished. In Jesus Christ, you have the complete religion in Jesus Christ.
Better. Hello, hello, sound check. Please adjust. Hello. Hello, gamay lagi akong tingog dere. All right. Hello. So what is the theme of Hebrews? That the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ is superior compared to the old covenant. Now, why is Jesus' priesthood superior? That's what I want us to learn. All right? You have your sermon notes with you? So what makes Jesus superior to all the previous priesthood? Now, there are many things in Hebrews that I want to talk about. For time constraint, I'm going to just give you three this Sunday. Next Sunday will be others. So again, why should I trust Jesus as my great high priest? As someone who can mediate me towards God? Now here's the first one. Write this down. Because Jesus entered a perfect place. Jesus entered a perfect place. Now remember, what does the high priest enter to year after year? The Holy of Holies. Remember? When they go to the temple to worship the Lord, only the high priest can enter the Holy of Holies. So I want you to imagine this. If this is the temple of God, that place here, the whole congregation, that's the holy place. Now imagine there's a big curtain dividing this place. This is the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest can enter this area. Now once a year, the high priest enters this area to offer the sacrifice in the, what was that main furniture in the Holy of Holies? What was that called? The Ark of the Covenant. That symbolizes the presence of God. In the Ark of the Covenant, that's where the priest would sprinkle blood on behalf of God's people. So the high priest enters. Now, imagine this. When the high priest enters, part of the vestment of the high priest is that there are tiny bells. Naay mga bells dire sa iyang garment. Now, those bells are what? Fashion? Fashion lang to, Pastor, for fashion? What's the purpose of the bell? Now, the purpose of the bell is for people outside to know that the high priest is alive. Because not all high priests come out alive. Because if the high priest comes and, you know, if there are still sins in his life that are not atoned, you know what happened to that high priest? Because the high priest is not worthy, that priest would die literally. All right? And how would the people know? How would the other priests know that the priest is alive as long as the bell is ding, 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 ding? The moment the bell stops, that means the high priest is dead. Okay? Now that's happening year after year. Imagine yourself if it's your turn to enter. Let's just say, si atong high priest, si Pastor Arfaith, iyan ang turn. Ari na siya dire. Nakalimot man siya, naman siya mga salaga, wa na na-confess. Pag abot dire, uy, wa naman yung tingog. Gipatay day. See, namatay. And that is why tradition tells us that high priests, they were being tied with a rope sa ilang tiil. Nga naman na? Because nobody can enter here and live. That's why the other priests would pull that dead body out. In ana kakuyaw ang Old Testament. In ana kaholy ang Ginoo. That's how holy, that's why it's called Holy of Holies. Now that's what the earthly high priest entered to year after year. But this, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest, entered a different place. All right, look at verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Notice how the Bible describes Jesus, great high priest. No one was ever called great high priest. They were just called high priests. But Jesus is called great high priest. Why? Because that's who he is. Now, he didn't just enter the Holy of Holies. He passed through the heavens. Now, the tense here in Greek, this verb, pass through, is in the perfect tense. And you know, some of you, you know, those of you who are already familiar with our messages here, when a tense is in the perfect tense, it means it is something that is completed, it is done once, but then its effect, its result will continue to have a ripple effect even in the future. Meaning to say, Jesus entered heavens once, all right? Now, he didn't just enter the Holy of Holies. He entered heaven. So, what he entered was a perfect place. The temple, that Holy of Holies that Moses built, that Solomon built, it was just a copy. It was just a replica. The real temple actually is in heaven. Hebrews tells us that the real Holy of Holies, the real temple of God, is not here on earth. It's in heaven. And where do you find that? In the book of Hebrews. Right? Now, let's go to some verses that elaborates this idea. Look at verse 9, 11, chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, 11. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more, take note, perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. So when Jesus entered, he did not enter the physical temple, because his was the real temple where? In heaven, not made of this creation. He entered once for all into the holy place. And the holy place is not here on earth. Where is that holy place? In heaven, where God is. So, I want you to understand this. Ang earthling high priest would enter the Holy of Holies temple. They touch, okay, they go to the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of the presence of God. Jesus entered not the symbol, but the real presence of God in heaven. See? And what's the implication of that? For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are what? Which are what? Which are copies of the true things. So everything in the Old Testament, the table, the lampstands, the Ark of the Covenant, they were all copies. So if you ask me, what do you think is the picture of heaven? What do you see in heaven? Well, in the center of heaven, you will find there the temple of God where God dwells. And who entered there to be our high priest? Not any human priest, but only Jesus Christ. Amen? That's very important. Again, I want you to see the importance. Unless the high priest enters and sacrifices for us, our sins will not be forgiven. See? The sins of the nation of Israel will not be forgiven unless this high priest passes through the Holy of Holies and is able to sacrifice. That's just Old Testament. The real thing is this. Jesus entered heaven itself, brought his own blood there. See? That's why he is superior. He did not pass through, you know, those copies, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. That's what Jesus is doing. He is, if you ask me, where is Jesus now, Pastor? Where is Jesus? Why is the cross in our church? There's no Jesus here. Well, because we don't want the impression when people enter our church, we don't want to see a dead Jesus hanging on a cross. Again, I explained this many times because there are so many Catholics and other, you know, from other groups join our church every Sunday. And sometimes I want to explain the difference. Why our cross has no Jesus there? It's not that this church is Christless. No. There's no Jesus in our cross because the Jesus in our cross is already in heaven. He's already appearing in the presence of God on your behalf and my behalf. And that means when we pray, when we ask, and we ask for help in Jesus' name, we know that our prayers are heard. You know why? Because our Lord Jesus is there. See? Your prayers don't reach God's ears directly. It's Jesus that brings them. Remember, that's the role of the high priest. He's in heaven right now. The moment Jesus ascended, he's in heaven. And his role is no longer to die on the cross. He's dying on the cross, it's finished. If you ask, what is the present day work of Jesus? It's interceding for you and me. Amen? He is mediating before you and me. Now, why do we need mediating? Why do I need, like, what is another word for mediator? A counselor. Why do I need a counselor? Because you have an enemy who is what? What's the name of, the name Satan means what? Accuser. Do you know why you and I need someone to defend us in heaven? Because we have an enemy who's always accusing us. All right? And he, let me just give you a typical day in heaven, you know? I want to use now, same Pastor Arfe. Ikaw may akong nakakuha ng Pastor Arfe. So Pastor Arfe is here. And of course, Satan is not all-knowing, but Satan is observant. So Satan watches this Pastor Arfe. He sees everything, no? And he goes to God and says, are you sure i-blessed mo na siyang pastora? Kaya ba bakas gibuhat, anak? That's what Satan does. Namakak mo na. Example rin niya. Okay? In fairness, Pastor Arfate is a good pastor. Not only good, guapo po. Okay? Just like all the pastors in Bradford. Okay? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now, every day, the devil and his cohorts, you know, that's the way happens. He accuses Christians. And if you are a follower of Jesus, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if Jesus is dwelling in your heart, what will Jesus do there? He's appearing there. So, namatay mga lawyers dere, di ba? Sa mga court terms naman ng appearance. Kinahanglan ka mo appear. Nganong mo appear imong counsel? Because it's your counsel that it will explain, my client is innocent. Jesus is our great high priest. He's in heaven, not in an earthly temple. And he's in the presence of God. And what does the Bible say? On our behalf. See? That's the good thing. When you are born again, when you have Jesus in your life, Satan accuses you before God, you have your high priest to defend.
Ikaw nga, wa pa ka na Christian na born, kinsa may ma-defend ni mo nga to? Kinsa man? See?
Those of us who doesn't want Jesus in our lives, who will you call to? Who will defend you in the presence of God, that God is holy? Only Jesus Christ can do that. Look at Hebrews 8:1. Now the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest. I want you to understand that phrase. We have such a high priest. What the Hebrew writer is telling us there is this. Be blessed. Pay attention. Because this such priest that we have, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. What is he doing there? Notice what the Bible says. One who is seated at the right hand of the throne. Why is it so important that we have Jesus? Because he is right there, seated on the right hand of God. Now, this is important. Now, I know there are Catholics here. Now, one of the teachings of the Catholic Church, okay, is the intercession of the saints. Okay, now that I have to bring that up again because a lot of Catholics asking me, Pastor, unsa may imong ma-explain anang mga saints? Okay, why is it that in your church, in Protestant churches, you know, you don't have saints? Do you believe in saints? So, okay, I have to correct. Number one, we do believe in saints. It's not true that Protestants don't believe in saints. I believe in saints. We all believe in saints because saints are biblical. In the Bible, Christians were called saints. The only difference is this. In the Bible, saints were alive. In the Catholic Church, saints are dead. Okay? Now, for example, Paul was writing to the saints in Corinth. Is he writing to dead people? Is he writing to those who are in heaven? No, he's writing to the saints. So, because the word saint simply means you are being sanctified. A saint is, you are a saint, I'm a saint. Meaning to say, a saint is a person whose sins have been washed by the blood of Jesus. Now, question, are your sins washed by the blood of Jesus? Yes. Ang katong uban, oh, di ko sure, Pastor. Okay. So kung di pa ka sure, so imong pagka saint, lahi na pagka saint. No? Di pa ka sure. Pero kung sure na ka nga save ka, you're a saint. Now, in the Catholic Church, again, the teaching of intercessory ministry of the saints. So, in the Catholic Church, they teach that saints are there to help us intercede before God. I mean, if you look at the implication is that tinuod, no, kung daghan ta dito mo intercede mo amas tubag imong ampo. Daghaning hungong sa Ginoo ba? Now, if you look at it that way, it sounds logical, right? Kung daghan mo ato ni God. All right. Number one, why is it that in the Protestant church you don't have that? Number one, because it's not taught in the scripture. Mao gina. Okay? It's not taught in the scripture. Number two, why do you need the help of a saint who is also a sinner like you when you have Jesus who is already seated in the throne of God? And that's the point. Why do I need the help of this particular saint when I have Jesus who is the Son of God? Now, imagine this. Nana si Jesus dito magsulti, unya daghan pag yung mutabang og sulti. Do you think mayon ang Father, ay mutuon ako ni muna kay daghan masaling sulti? No. Because Jesus is enough. Jesus doesn't need help of other saints because he is the only one that can actually tell the Father what needs to be done to the saints. Amen. So, ako lang ang explain, ha? Okay? You don't have to believe me. You don't have to believe this. You go on with what you believe. But what I'm trying to say is that I am just trying to compare. Again, because I know there are so many Catholics attending. So that pakibaw mo ba? Ah, mo day na. Yes. Mo na nga. You don't find saints here because the saints are not somewhere there. The saints are seated here. The other saints are in heaven. And we don't go to saints for intercession. We go to saints as examples of faith. They are good examples of faith. The saints are good examples to, you know, to see, wow, see Saint Ignatius, wow, grabe kay yung passion for the word. See Saint Augustine. No? I mean, you can use their lives as an example, but they never have any power to intercede before God. Because you don't find in the Bible there are other saints on the sides of God. There's only one person on the side of God, Jesus Christ. And he is our great high priest. And by the way, you don't need so many high priests to enter. Remember, only one person can enter the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest. In the same way, only one person can enter the most holy place in heaven. And that person is our Lord Jesus Christ. So even if you call the saints, those saints can never enter the throne because there's only one person who can pass through. It's only Jesus Christ. All right? He's the minister of the true tent, the true tabernacle. Are you following? So that's why Jesus' priesthood is superior. Because only Jesus entered heaven in the very presence of God. All the other human priests, they only entered the earthly altar, not the altar in heaven. Only Jesus Christ entered there. All right, let's go to the second. Are you still with me? Okay. Why Jesus is superior, his priesthood is superior. Number two, because Jesus possessed a perfect person. Or should I say personality? A perfect personality. You need to be a perfect person to intercede before God. All right? Now, again, for clarification, a priest is to be a mediator. Remember, unsay gi-mediate sa priest? What is he trying to mediate? He's trying to mediate God. Remember, God here who is holy, righteous, perfect. You cannot touch God. You cannot even see God with your own eyes because you die. That's what the Bible says. Because he's holy. And here's where we are. Sinners. See? Sinners. We can never go to God on our own. So that's why we need a mediator. Now a mediator, a good mediator, must be able to relate to the parties he's trying to mediate. Okay? I gave an example this morning para makasabot yun. Let's say nag-away ang goat o ang tao. Okay? Illustration purposes lang. Nag-away ang goat o ang tao. Away sila, di kisa makisanabot. Kaya ingon ang tao, nga nung makaon magkukasaan mo ang tanom goat? Ingon ang goat, meh! Di siya kakasabot, nga nung meh! Di makisanabot. So nangitag mediator. Si our faith. Ni Atos our faith. Ni mediate siya. Di man masugot ang goat. Kay men siya nga, nato kay mura goat nga buhok dire pero di makagoat, di ka kakasabot nako. See? Sumiyon ang goat nga unfair ka. Kay imong masabtan ang tao ra. Okay? O so kumukuha po tag goat nga mo-mediate, mayon po lang tao, di man ipatas. In other words, in order for someone to mediate us to God, that person must relate both to God and to man. Now, let's just say an angel. Let's just say a saint. A saint will try to mediate us to God. You know, Peter or Mary or any of the saints. Can they mediate? No. Because they're only one-sided. See? They're all human. Angels, di po siya ka-relate. Kay si angels, si God na po yung ma-relate. Di po siya ka-kuan sa tao. In other words, there's a perfect person who can only be our perfect priest. Someone who is both God and man. See? That's why only Jesus can intercede us to the Father. There is no other mediator between God and man. Only Jesus. Not Mary, not Peter, not the saints. Only Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's the only God who became man. Look at verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, so he entered the perfect place. Jesus, notice what happened next. It says there, the Son of God. This high priest is emphasized that this Jesus who entered heaven is not just the Son of Mary. He is the Son of God. So this high priest who is now in heaven is no other than the very Son of God that God gave up so that we can be saved. Amen? Now notice verse 15. Go to verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. I want you to understand that phrase. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been what? Has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, this is something very important, brethren, because this is the highlight of this verse. We are being told by the Bible that Jesus can sympathize. The word sympathize there in Greek is really the same word, sympatheo. It means someone who can feel what you're feeling. But not only that. In the Greek, it goes beyond that. He's someone who can feel and he's also the someone that can feel. Take note of the spelling. Someone who feels what you're doing, F-E-E-L. But he's also someone who can fill up that need, F-I-L-L. See? He can sympathize. Why can he sympathize? Because the Bible says, He's the one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Brethren, a lot of people don't believe that. Some people, oh, si Jesus, huwag na siya kasuway. Nasuway na siyang gitem siya og babay. Okay, a lot of men here. You know, what's usually the temptation of men? Lust. Okay? Suddenly, ang mga men, tanawa, observer eh. Awang mga guilty, di ba? Di mulihok. Lust. Yet? I mean, there it is. You have to admit it. Lust. Okay? Men are always lustful for sex. Okay? Men are not satisfied with one woman. That's the nature. If you're not born again. See? If you're not born again, you will never be satisfied.
Even if you're born again, you still fight. Was he tempted? Imagine Jesus Christ talking and then suddenly a prostitute comes and then, you know, wipes the feet with hair. I mean, imagine, put yourself in that situation. Diba? Diba ka ma-rose? See? What I'm saying to you is this. Jesus was human and he was tempted in all kinds of human temptation. It was a temptation. Question, did Jesus give in? No. See that? Was Jesus tempted to react negatively? Kanabang mubaos, you know, to be vengeful. Imagine Jesus Christ, Son of God, he was slapped by maybe 200 Pharisees. Remember, during the night when Jesus Christ was tried, every Pharisee in the whole Jerusalem slapped him and spat on him. Imagine ang naong ni Jesus na puno na slaway, napayubang atong Pharisee yung gipang-ubo. Okay? Imagine na lang. I want you to imagine the reality. That's what our Lord received. Slap and spit. Alright? And he was tortured. He was being scourged. And that's Jesus, the Son of God. Take note, this is Jesus, the Son of God. He has the power. Remember, this is the same Jesus who says, let there be light, and there was light. And this is the same Jesus who could say, mamatay mong tanan po, patay tanan. Was there a temptation? Yes. If I were there, if I was the one hanging on that cross, unsay akong first word sa cross? Bantay lang yun mong mabuhi ko. First word of Pastor Maki on the cross. Bantay lang yun mong mabuhi ko ba? But what was the first word of Christ on the cross? Father, forgive them. See? He was tempted. Kung di katong time nga si Jesus, you know, after 40 days and 40 nights of prayer, gigutom siya. Be, tao man siya. Do you think there was no temptation? He could actually say, let there be Burger King. Tring, to ada yun. Pwede niya buhaton. I want milkshake. Gawas na yun. And in fact, that was what Satan did. If you are truly the Son of God, you can turn this stone into sliced bread. There was a temptation. Question, did Jesus give it? No. Meaning to say, my dear friends, when the Bible says, one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, every sort of temptation, pressure, problem, crisis that all humans went through, he went through. So that when you come to the Lord, when you come to his throne of grace, when you beg for help, you can say, Lord, di kay bawko, di ka kasabot ani. Wrong na. When you come to Jesus, whatever you are bringing, whatever problem you have, when you say, Lord Jesus, I know that the Bible tells me that you went through this. See? Never ever think that Jesus cannot sympathize with you, because that's exactly what the Bible says. He is the one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet what? Without sin. Amen? Kung mangayo ka, if you're someone who needs help, nga gusto ka maka-overcome sa imong problem, muadto ka sa person nga wa ka-overcome? No. You want to go to a person who has been tempted, who's gone through the same way but overcame. Adto ka. Angang muadto ka sa pilihonon, di pildi po ka. Diba? I mean, that's just common sense. Why would you go to someone who has been tempted, and again, all the saints, while they were good, while they were saints, none of them made it perfectly. They all needed the blood of Jesus to cleanse them. But Jesus doesn't need any blood because he has overcome. Amen? That makes Jesus the perfect intercessor. That makes him our perfect high priest. Amen? So again, unsa to? Because he entered the perfect place, only Jesus entered heaven. Second, only Jesus is the perfect person to be our priest.
because he can relate to the Father, because he's the Son of the Father, and he can relate to you and me because he became man. And he went through all the pains of humanity. The good thing there, brethren, is this. When you are in need, when you are struggling with something, you can just whisper to Jesus. And Jesus can say, I know what you went through. Amen? He can say that. I know because been there, done that. See? I've experienced that. But then the Bible is very clear. He had no sin. Amen? He had no sin. Jesus proved that as God and as man, he is our best mediator. He can sympathize with us and he can relate with the Father. Now, third, this will be our last and the others will be next Sunday. So those of you who are visiting now, you have a reason to come back next week. And I tell you, forever hold your peace. I'm going to give 9 points and you only receive 3. Diba? Di juga katug, di juga pakatugon sa Holy Spirit. So mabalik juga next Sunday. All right, let's go to the third. Jesus offered a perfect provision. Jesus offered a perfect provision. Okay, going back to the high priest, the human high priest, they enter the Holy of Holies, they bring the provision. What provision is he bringing? The blood of goats and bulls and lamb. Sprinkle it there. But here's the problem. That blood of the bull, the lamb, the goat, it's only temporary. Yes, it can cover the sins of the people, but only for a little while. See? That is why this priest, they go again and again. They do that year after year. They have to slaughter animals year after year. Now, I'm an animal lover. I don't like the old system. I mean, can you imagine those innocent lambs being slaughtered? You know, according to historian, one particular Passover, they would slaughter some 300,000 lambs. Can you imagine that? 300,000 lambs. Because the equation at the time is that one lamb per family. See? Ya kung Pinoy, nga daghang kag anak, daghang kay mag-share. Alright? Ya kung mga Pinoy, nga daghang kay sala, murag di, mayon ang prari, murag, kinahanglan naging mag dinosaur. Daghang kay mag sa, kuwangan na ning lamb. See? And that's what they do year after year for people to be forgiven. They have to do that year after year. But here's the good thing about our high priest, Jesus Christ. Now we go to chapter 5. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act. Now this is the function of the priest. Appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God. To offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. That's just the function. All right, verse 2. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward since he himself is beset with weaknesses. So the point there is that the priest, the human high priest, yes, he can also intercede. He can also deal gently with people because he himself, now tanawa, he himself is ignorant and wayward. So he can deal gently. That's good. Actually, that's good. But here's the bad thing. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for the people. Because human priests, they also sin. In order for them to sacrifice on behalf of God's people, they must sacrifice for their own sins first. Now here's the dangerous point. What if this high priest miscalculated himself? See? Sayup iyang na-offer nga sacrifice yung sakay. Feeling niya gamay ra yung sala. But in the eyes of God, kulang. Kulang. What happens? You know the implication. He would jeopardize the whole nation. He represents man the nation. So imagine, mag-sacrifice yung sala at to siya sa Ginoo. But then, what if God is not pleased with His own sacrifice for Himself? Do you think God would accept the sacrifice for the people? So imagine, mo announce, announcement, si Father Trupa, huwa ka patay, huwa ka lusot. Okay? Nga naman, ang sacrifice, wala na dawat. See? And every Jew would cry, oh my, what must we do? See? Who is worthy? See? That's a sad thing. He must deal with his own sin. Why? Because human priests, they are also sinners. Alright? Now, let's go to Hebrews 7:26. For it was indeed fitting that we should have, take note of the phrase, we should have a high priest. What kind of a high priest? And this is now talking about Jesus. Holy, innocent, unstained. See that? Unlike human priests, Jesus is holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Verse 27, he has no need. There's the important thing. He has no need, like those high priests, the human priests, to offer sacrifice daily. First for his own sins, and then for those of the people. You see that? The human priests, they have to sacrifice daily for their own. But Jesus, our high priest, don't need that. Because he has not sinned. See? When he comes to the Father, he doesn't have to deal with his own problem. Unlike human priests, imagine human priests. If I'm the human high priest, okay, and let's just say we are in the old covenant. I go to God, this is the Holy of Holies. I go to God bringing your problems, inyong mga tanang mga problems, inyong tanang mga pasala. I'm bringing it. But I'm also bringing my own. Diba? What if selfish ko? Bahala na niyong salawi, unahon na ako ako ah. See? That's why the old system failed. It failed. Because it was based on a failed priest. Human priests cannot do it. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again. Jesus doesn't have to offer again and again. Why? How many times did Jesus offer himself? Only once. He died only once. And what did he say on the cross? Tetelestai. It is finished. Perfect tense. Completed. Everything necessary for man to be saved was already completed by Jesus. There is perfectly nothing you can add to what Jesus already perfectly finished on the cross. Wala na kaipuno. Faith again. No? The way high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood that is not his own. That is what happened every year. Then Christ would have to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with the sin by the sacrifice of himself. You see, that's why Jesus is superior, because the sacrifice he was bringing to the Father was perfect. It can cleanse all our sins. And take note, it's not just a temporary sin. Unlike the sacrifices of the Old Testament, the sacrifice of Jesus himself was perfect. He died only once and for all. For our sins. Now, again, I want to clarify something. Again, this is between what happens in a... Because we are going to have communion, all right? Today is our communion Sunday. We're going to have the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. And many times I'm being asked, Pastor, can you please explain the difference? Again, this is a difference. I'm just making a difference. I'm just clarifying what happens in a Catholic Mass and what happens in a Protestant Mass like this. Okay, this is very important. You need to know this because I know a lot of Catholics don't know this. In a Catholic Mass, in the teaching of a Catholic Mass, every time the priest, you know, holds up the host and the wine and does a prayer, remember, we don't know that. We don't see that. Sila rin nakibaw.
Jesus is actually being sacrificed again. That's what happens. Every time a mass is instituted, Jesus is being sacrificed in the theology, all right? He's being sacrificed. Why? Because the body really, the host really becomes real body. The wine really becomes real blood. And so, it's really going back to the Old Testament. The table in a Catholic altar is really like the altar in the Old Testament. Jesus is being offered again. There's going to be blood, there's going to be flesh, but then it's transubstantiation so that you don't see that. But it's a mystery that really happens, all right? So Jesus is being sacrificed again. Every Mass, he's being sacrificed again and again. Now, what happened in the Reformation is that when this priest, remember, when these Catholics who were studying the scripture now, they studied Hebrews. And how many times did we hear this phrase, once for all? Many times. In fact, let's go back. Let's go back. All right? Those people, okay, he has no need like those high priests to offer sacrifices daily. In the Old Testament, how often do they sacrifice? Daily. All right? For their own sins and then for the sins of the people. He did this once for all. Jesus did it once for all. So how many times Jesus is offered as a sacrifice? Once for all. In the old system, how many times? Daily. In the old covenant, how many times do they have to enter the presence in order to offer sacrifice? Again and again. See? The way the high priest entered the most holy place, every year with the blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have to suffer many times. If that's the real case. But the Bible says, take note, but now he has appeared once and for all at the end of the ages to do away with the sin by the sacrifice of himself. Meaning to say, my dear friends, you say, okay, that's Catholic Mass. Every time the Eucharist is being raised, sacrifice again, Jesus again and again. Now, what happens in a Protestant? Now, this is not the Protestant. Okay? The Protestant Mass, you still have the host. There's going still to be a pastor ministering, but we don't offer Jesus there. We are simply memorializing. Remember? That's why in the table, every church table has this mark, in remembrance of me. So that everyone who enters, we know in this altar, we don't sacrifice Jesus again here because he only sacrificed himself once. What is being done here every communion is that we are simply remembering what was done on the cross. See? Because Old Testament, you repeat it. New Testament, only once. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. That's what the priest does. Day after day, hala, ato, offer. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, take note, which can never take away sins. Now, this is Jesus. But when this priest, okay, we're not talking of the human priest. We're talking of Jesus, our priest. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, see, that's very emphasized in Hebrews. He only offered himself once. What happened? He sat down at the right hand of God. Here's something interesting that you need to know. If you go back to the Old Testament altar, in the Holy of Holies, you will never find a chair there. There's no chair. You know, the Bible describes everything inside. What's inside? You don't find a chair in the Holy of Holies. You know why? Hint. Why is there no chair? Because the work of the priest is never end. Never ends. A priest will only sit down when the work is done. Are you following? A priest will only sit down when the work is done. You don't find a chair inside the Holy of Holies because the priest will have to do it again and again, because the sacrifice never ends, because the sin, the offering that they do can never take away sin. But Jesus is a different priest. You know why? Look at what the Bible says. He only sacrificed one death, one offering, and it pays all. Look at Jesus. Is he standing in heaven? Look at what the Bible says. Sat down at the right hand of God. Meaning to say, friends, everything necessary for you and me to be saved, it's done. See? The high priest's work. Jesus, the only thing. So if you ask, so Pastor, let's go back to the priest. The priest in the Old Testament does two things. Make sacrifice daily, offers prayer daily. Now, in Jesus' case, unsa iyang nabilin nga function? Dili na sacrifice. Because that's done. That's why he's seated. In other words, the function of Jesus Christ now, I'm talking of now, huh? While we are worshiping here, what is he doing in heaven? Is he making sacrifices? No. Because that's only once. What he's doing now is interceding for us. Amen? Humana. So, if you ask me, si Jesus as high priest, unsa iyang trabaho karon? Katong mo enter siya sa Holy of Holies to offer sacrifice, no more. He did that once at Calvary. The only thing that Jesus is presently, currently doing now is he is interceding for you and for me. Because this accuser is always there also accusing. He's interceding. He's waiting. Every time you pray, Lord, na ako'y bayranon tomorrow, Lord, tabangi ko, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. It is brought to the Father's ears through the intercession of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? See? That's the implication, brethren. See? And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Question, are you obeying him? Are you one of those who are obeying Jesus? Because he became the source of our salvation. And being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, what should we do now? Because he is our great high priest. Now here's the conclusion. Here's how we will close our message today. Pay attention. Because Jesus entered the perfect place. What's the second? Because Jesus possessed perfect person necessary for our intercession. And third, because Jesus offered the perfect provision. Here's what the Bible wants us to do now. Number one, hold fast our confession. See? Hold fast our confession. Hold fast our confession. Our confession. What is our confession? Our confession that Jesus is our priest. Our confession is that Jesus is our Lord, our Savior. Again, look at verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Notice the conclusion. Therefore, let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast. Don't let go of that faith that you have in Jesus. Don't allow crises. Don't allow problems. Don't allow worldliness. Don't allow imperfections of others to stop you from believing in Jesus. Because a lot of times, we allow to be stumbled, no? We allow Satan to stumble us. No. It's between you and God. Hold fast on your faith. Second, draw near to God with confidence. And this is the best part. This is what I want. And I want few more minutes, just few more minutes, because this is the most important part. Because Jesus is our great high priest. He's there day and night. He's perfect. Unlike human priests can also be tired, so they have to sleep. But this Jesus never sleeps. He's never tired. He's never tired of hearing our prayers. Do you believe that?
That's what the Bible says. Psalms 121. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's always there to intercede for you and for me. So what is that to me now? I know Jesus is my great high priest. So what is that to you and to me now? This is what it is to us today. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. The Bible says, draw near. Friends, that means because Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and because I trust Jesus, my Lord, He is there interceding for me. Anytime I have a problem, anytime I am in crisis, I can always draw near to the throne of God's grace. Take note, with confidence. Do you know the other meaning of the word with confidence? In the other translation, it says with boldness. When you ask, don't ask hesitantly. When you ask God, be bold. See? When you draw near to God, don't draw near nya kanang murag mahadlok, maulaw. The Bible says, because we have a great high priest in Jesus, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Now, what do we get? Now, this is where a lot of us Filipinos love. Receive. Di ba ganahan yung tag-receive? Receive og item, dili receive og bill. Di yung tag-ganahan ng bill. Di ba? Ganahan yung tamudawat. And this is the best part, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Brethren, do you have times of need? Will you ever have, minka, wala ko karon pastor, okay, praise God. But do you think in the future, there will be time in your life that you need God's help? Here's the help. Because He is our great high priest, you can come boldly into the throne of grace of God. You can draw near to God with confidence. Why? Because He wants you to receive mercy and find grace to help you, to help me in my time of need. Why? Because my great high priest, Jesus Christ, is right there, 24/7. He's at the right hand of the Father, and He's for you. And He's there on your behalf. Why are you still afraid, O Christian? Why are you still intimidated by problems, O Christian? You have Jesus right there. Amen? Come boldly into the throne of grace. See? What is it that bothers you today? What is it that really saps your energy out from you? What is it that drains your soul? Have you brought them to Jesus? See? Don't go to some saints. No? Akong problem, pastor, love life. So nice saint, nga pang love life lang yun. You can go to Jesus. See? He also experienced brokenness. See? He understands you. Whatever you need, you will find. Amen? That's what this verse is all about. When you need help in, you know, when you need help, you will always find grace if you trust Jesus. So the key, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. Confess your sins to Him and you will find mercy and grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great love that you have given us Jesus Christ. That though we may experience crises, we may experience spiritual drought, we may experience a life wrecked by sin, we know that we have a great high priest who doesn't need to offer sacrifices again and again because he offered it once and for all. And it is only by faith that when I come and draw near to you, you will never reject us. Because we have Jesus there on your side. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we draw near to you, Jesus. My dear brothers and sisters, bring your concerns to Jesus right now. The Bible says, cast all your cares on Him. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Jesus is never tired of hearing your prayers. Come to Him. Draw near to Him with confidence. Allow Jesus to remove those burdens. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, you come to Jesus so that you will find rest for your souls. Are there sins that you are keeping? Are there sins in your life that's causing you to be so spiritually dry? Have you been running away from God? Don't run any longer. Trust in Him. Bring your concerns to Jesus. He's for you. He's on your behalf. He's there on your behalf, on my behalf. Lord Jesus, prepare us right now to receive the sacrament of your body and blood. Send forth your Spirit to purify us and to cleanse us so that we become worthy to receive this sacrament. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.